comfortable. Let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, a show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband, Mick, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is going to be part four of our program about programs about energy. If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject today, okay, it's not readings, it's about you joining in with our show and being part of the show. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. It's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, I'm afraid it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. Go on. It's 001-503-876-3222.
Oh. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, Book an Akashic Reading or whatever, don't visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at spiritsworkradio.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. And I won't know about anything else that happens because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. And like I say, do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work and what we do. And I'm going to say goodbye for this week. It should only take, hopefully, a few seconds or so for Gregory to come through and be with you. Okay. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mick. Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he comes to share his wisdom for us. Well, it's for our benefit. So, the White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They're made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. Okay, so I'd just like to take this opportunity to say that Mick and I and Gregory will be in where are we going to be? We're going to be in Portland on Friday night. We're going to be at the New Age boutique called Spirit Feathers in the Selwood district of Portland. And we're going to be, doing a two-hour workshop on circle development, teaching you how to develop your mediumship and your psychic skills at home safely or in the company of others or setting up a group to develop. Fascinating 2 hours. It's only $20 for the 2 hours, 7 till 9. So if you would like to join us then, that would be great. We'd love to see you. And then on Sunday, on the 18th, we are in Washington, Vancouver, Washington, and we are at the wonderful Celestial Awakening shop. It's a New Age shop, and we're there from 12 till 2 p.m., Sunday. And it's going to be questions. It's going to be sitting with Gregory, basically, and it's called Conversations with Spirit. So, basically, he's going to come through and you're going to be able to converse with him and talk to him about all sorts of things. That's going to be a fascinating 2 hours. We're there from, I could say, 12 till 2. If you want to know about any of these, please go on our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend, with love and light, friend.
Thank you. So, here we are again, talking about energy. Who would have thought it?
Normally,
if you'd have said to somebody, okay, you have to talk for 5 minutes on energy, they would probably struggle, and we've done 3 shows on it. This is our fourth show.
Yes, quite so.
And I believe today you're going to take us along a slightly different pathway again.
Well, yes, I suppose so. The point really is that human beings, when you are having a human existence such as you are in a sense always thinking in terms of energy and that you need to eat food as a being yourself in order to have energy, in order to exert your energy upon something else. Likewise, if you see a river, what is the energy which emits from a river? It is partly to do with the exchanges of gases that happen from the liquid form, the combustion, if you like, and retention and release of the situation of oxygen, which is brought about by vigorous activity of the liquid, and that then brings about different releases of energy into the atmosphere that you breathe. However, what about when you are looking and observing, perhaps you feel energy around you from the spirit world? How is that possibly able to manifest to you as a physical being? And how is it possible for them to manifest it if they are spirit and no longer having a physical existence? How can they interact with the physical world in such a way? Or perhaps you may have seen it that within certain situations that the beings in the spirit world may actually behave quite adversely toward physical human beings, particularly if they're doing something that they object to, or something like that. How can it be possible that a non-physical being can actually collect and direct energy into such a state that they can perhaps even sweep you off your feet?
That's a good question.
Oh, I'm so glad you thought so.
You're just a chap to tell us.
Yes, well, quite. So, the situation is then, first of all, you have to look at the condition of why would it be that a spirit in the first place would want to do that, would want to bring that about. So, that may be a field of negative energy that you are looking at, if it is going to be something that I wouldn't say necessarily creates a great harm to you, but certainly gives you a shock in the fact of, we'll keep this for the moment, of sweeping someone off their feet.
Okay.
That actually, that suddenly they find themselves that they're upended, and their feet just leave them, and they're upended, and they land on their backs.
Right, okay. Now, is this something that happens frequently?
Quite frequently, actually, my dear friend. You'd be surprised. Really to do with situations between physical human beings when they are going to investigate or interact with conditions we have noticed to do with the spirit world. Perhaps it's to do with something like a haunting or something like that. Some kind of spooky event.
Well, most of the ones that I see on the TV, they struggle to actually even convince themselves or convince anybody else that anything's ever moved or seen on the screen.
Oh, yes,
unfortunately,
absolutely.
But maybe it's just at the wrong times that the camera's never rolling when you want it to.
Yes, quite so, yes. I do understand. But actually, the point that we're trying to make here is that this can happen in many different situations. It's not just when you have some like that, which is where you are using cameras and all of that kind of thing. It can be particularly something which can happen to somebody who is intensely skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
And it may well be the spirit world's way of, actually waking them up finally. And nothing could be so dramatic as to wake someone up than to actually put them on their backs when ordinarily they're just standing there.
Well, then presumably these
upright
sorts of people, okay, they've had the proof that they needed, but they're not likely to go telling other people that it happened.
Well, no, quite so. So the point is then that what we need to look at here is, well, how exactly does the spirit world actually manage to do that?
Mm. Yes, let's take that one, that particular thing.
We'll take this
thing
to start
yes
with. So the situation is then, as I say, in this state, you have to take into account whether it is a physical positive or a physical negative that is happening. And this will, of course, then determine as to what the outcome is going to be. The person who lands on their backs in this state, obviously it's a negative, but it also has a physical positive property as well. But perhaps it was not that they actually wanted to harm them in that respect, but just to give them a real experience. So although you may determine it as being a negative, it may well not have been that intention. Do you see?
Yes. Yeah.
So that, first of all, is what you have to understand, that what you suppose is a negative from the physical point of view of yourselves is not necessarily so from the spirit world's point of view. Now, the situation then will be, we'll say that at this point, this is actually a positive physical experience.
Okay.
And so what actually happens is that the spirit concerned really wants to bring some very positive and physical attention. So what they're doing is they are generating and creating a great deal of the energy of love. Now, I understand that people may have difficulty in understanding what an energy of love, what could that possibly be in the spirit world, which is of non-physical form. This is actually the attraction and creation of energy by a spirit being. Don't forget, friend, that spirit beings in the ether world have every bit an ability to create in their world as anyone else. And they can create thoughts using the simulation of their consciousness, how they were as a physical being, and all of the situations of their mind aptitude and various faculties to do with that. And they will be able to, given time and practice, will be able to actually learn how to actually move solid objects. And how they do this is by exerting a pressure upon the solid object from the spirit world. And it is usually through some form of either magnetism or electromagnetic force. Now, if it's to do with an electromagnetic force, does this mean to say that those beings in the spirit world generate electromagnetic force? Well, electricity is not generated by beings in the spirit world per se. It isn't to say that a spirit entity will actually generate it from nothing. What they will do is that they will harness abilities to send and utilize electricity which is being formed in the physical world. So in other words, friend, and perhaps we will talk about other situations as well to do with this, because it's most interesting.
Mm.
The situation is that you remember that, well, perhaps those listening to this program do not, but you remember that we have often talked about Tesla and his many different situations to do with different electromagnetic forces and how he always had the understanding that electricity could be sent by radio waves, by forms of radio waves to another place, that you don't need wires. Well, it's exactly the same technique. So what beings in the spirit world are sometimes able to do, as I say, they have to develop it with lots of practice, that sometimes they're able to utilize electricity, which may be in a cable, perhaps particularly we'll say then that this is something which is happening in a physical place, a building or something like that, that already has power to it. Mm-hmm. Yes, electrical power to it. And what can very often happen is that electricity is utilized in this way and actually, in a sense, driven by the spirit world using radio waves which exist in the physical world
mm-hmm.
and actually utilize that energy to transport electrical energy. This then is coupled with the very unique properties of the spirit world that we're able to utilize situations to do with magnetism. And magnetism is something which is very much a part of our lives, as this is a creation and repulsion of energy, and it enables movement, sometimes of inanimate objects in the spirit world. We'll go into that in at another time. But in any way, the situation at this present time is that so we have the situation of being able to propel electrical energy from a given cable. Don't forget, of course, that electrical energy actually runs outside of the cable, outside of the metal core itself, in between the metal core and its outer plastic jacket. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're able to do at times is to divert that energy into a using the electromagnetic forces to interject with the radio waves that are present on your side of life. This then means that we actually are able to animate a situation using this form of electrical energy, which we then turn into a form of kinetic energy. This means that we can utilize a small voltage of electricity from your side of the world, of life, and that we're able to convert that into a form of kinetic energy, which, coupled with magnetism, means that we can move an actual physical object.
Ah, okay.
I hope you understand this. So kinetic energy is something which is particularly on the surface of a thing, of an object, or something like that. So that we would actually take a magnetic ball of energy, which we would gather together using the properties that we have specific to the spirit world, and we would coat that in this form of electrical energy, you see, and it would form in a sense of, in a way of kinetic energy, which would then mean that we can use that energy to actually move a physical object. This is, of course, given that we are not saying that we are using someone from the physical world using the properties of ectoplasm or something like that.
No.
And then, quite simply, what we're able to do is to, or the person who has the being, spirit being, who has developed this as a practice, they're then able to use that energy in a very forceful way, to actually direct force against a human physical being or against a solid object. It's why perhaps you might find that, particularly if you're visiting a particular hot house, as we would call it, a house with a lot of spirit activity, which is very often quite negative. This actually happens with when someone in the spirit world is able to close a door or turn on a tap.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we do it.
Or lights.
Or lights, yes. Light switches are quite easy, really.
Because of the
relative
to already have the electricity there.
Yes, quite so. And also, of course, this is usually something as well which happens in the condition of there being a human physical life presence as well. And sometimes it will also be that the spirit will utilize the energy from that physical life presence. Just borrow it, really, to continue with that kinetic connection to once again utilize that form of electromagnetic force field, if you like. So that it then means that the repulsion is much quicker than something that would, it's almost instantaneous, rather than it being something that builds up, takes time to build up.
And you, when you say you borrow the energy from the people that that are there, how do you do that? I mean, how does that happen?
Well, this may be, of course, in the form of the energy presence of the being. So let us say then, for example, we'll stay for the moment with this situation of that you have perhaps a team of ghost hunters or something like that, and that what you actually have is you have a situation where you have these people who are raising their vibration. They are eager, they are keen, so their vibration is actually amplified on their auric field. And what we then do, what is then possible to do, is to utilize that energy and allow it to work in the physical state. So it's a form of concentrating that energy.
Right, you concentrate it. You collect it somehow.
Yes.
And concentrate
well,
it.
Well, yes, we collect it by attracting certain molecules of the kinetic situation, which we then, in a sense, it's as though, I wouldn't say that we suck the energy away from people, but that basically we, because within your auric field, when you are heightened by your awareness, particularly, even if it's a negative situation, you are extending your auric field. So therefore, the actual molecular structure which is happening in your auric field is becoming more vibrant. This then produces energy, which we collect. And that is why it is a form of kinetic energy. We can then utilize that energy ourselves to bring about physical situations.
Well, it sounds like then that you could go into any house, even if it wasn't haunted, and create that situation.
That is possible.
For that specific occasion, if it was being filmed or something.
Yes, if that being has a mind to do it. But the point is that I have to say that it's a developmental process. So it usually happens through years of development of that being, of why they would want to do that in the first place.
We're just talking about two different situations here then, aren't we? You guys...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make it complex.
Oh, no, but I'm just a girl, you know.
No, I understand that.
And
don't diminish yourself, then.
And it's not, you
You're
know...
very
I mean,
naughty.
But, oh, by the way, if anybody wants to phone in who can ask some really, really interesting stretching questions to Gregory, and it's toll-free in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. An international call, it is not toll-free, but please do join us. It's 530, isn't it? 876-3222. Anyway, sorry about that. Yes, what I was going to say is there's you guys that have got scientific knowledge and expertise that can do these things, and then there's the other beings who are maybe actually, say, haunting these places that are doing these things. Have they discovered how to do it by accident?
Well, very often, my friend, because of these situations may be represented by a negative situation in their own life, that is the reason of why they are there, why they are present. It may well be that they themselves have been helped by others who are extremely negative, who have been able to show them how to do this or utilize it for them.
Okay.
Because don't forget that negative energy does attract negative energy.
So they've just stumbled across it in some instances.
Yes, absolutely so. Quite so. Because actually it's not an easy thing to do. We have been trying for years to perfect it ourselves.
So presumably if they build up a negative situation in a place, the more negative it is, then the more they will be able to create to physically impact the physical dimension so that we can see it.
Because of the fear. That is true, yes. But I'm saying, though, that it's also... understand that our group actually works with it in a positive way and not in a negative way.
Oh,
so
no.
We are trying to do something which is very positive for people. But, yes, understanding as well that it can be a situation which is developed by very negative beings as well. And that's part of the situation, really. It's only that I suppose that they come to understand that they want so much to make that contact that it actually forces the situation to happen, in a sense.
Yes, and it's not always negative, is it? We've talked about this before. In haunted houses, it can be perfectly normal people and families that have just got a problem.
Oh, yes, absolutely so.
Hello, caller.
Hello there. How are you, Sylvie and Gregory?
Hi, Brian.
Hello.
How you
hello,
been, Gregory?
Friend. Hello, hello.
Oh, this is a fascinating subject, Gregory. I love it. My question is, with the telekinetic energy or the psychokinetic energy, for me personally, where am I at in my development to be able to harness or use this in a positive way?
Yes, well, my dear friend, it really is a situation that you would bring it about in helping, in being helped by others of your spirit team. So this would be something which would gradually become manifested. I would submit to you, friend, that it may well be something that you bring about yourself. Particularly, perhaps, if you are utilizing a pendulum, for example. Now, this is something which I know that many people think, that they have a difficulty perhaps with certain energies to do with the pendulum, but actually what's happening in that situation is that you are using your kinetic energy, which is on the exterior of yourself, and you are communicating that with your spirit and with others who may be working with you. So in that situation, you may then actually utilize the pendulum to work in your favor. And that is actually how that experiment works. Other situations may well be that you may gather with others, perhaps, and they may fit for you in your development. You usually, generally tend to need other people who are present to help you in the development stage, so that other situations may be built up by the spirit people who walk with you in your life. And this then can be something which is brought about gradually.
Is the pendulum something that you use, Brian, or thought of using?
No, I've been kind of drawn to certain things. Mine is a healing aspect with my hands, but I've been feeling a lot of... Lately, I've been feeling a lot of kind of like a pulling upward through the top of my crown chakra.
Yes.
I've been feeling a lot of pull and tugs here and there, and I wasn't sure if someone trying to contact me or is this my spirit or higher self downloading or uploading information. I wasn't sure.
Oh, I understand. No, I do understand completely, my
you
friend.
You can probably see that happening, yeah.
Yes, yes. But the point is, my friend, that you really need to... develop this situation much further than you are. The problem that you are facing at this time is imagine, if you will, that you have a river, and okay, that the river has these poles of energy, poles of information and connectivity with the spirit world. And what tends to happen with rivers is that if you do not have a clear flowing situation for the river, then the pole can become obstructed. And what then happens is that all of the other poles of information and knowledge and loving energy and useful states of energy that come along from your spirit creativity and the makeup with your development, then what then tends to happen is that all of these become jammed. They then become, it becomes difficult for the progress to continue, quite simply, in the developmental way. So what, in fact, my friend, that really you need to do is to try to find some other people who will sit for you, perhaps, who will sit with you, perhaps some friends that you can bring around that they don't necessarily have to know anything about spirit or the spirit world. It's just really a situation of them giving you energy, giving love toward you, love from their solar plexus toward you as a being, and that this then will be something that will oftentimes clear such a blockage. The situation also may well be to do with your life that you, if you are not able to utilize the energy that you create and the energy that comes from these poles of knowledge that you have within your journey, then if you're not able to utilize it and actually bring about hands-on healing with people, actually bring about a real connection with more people that you need to connect with, then the situation once again becomes obstructive, and that you then have a difficulty. Some people even actually suffer from headaches and that kind of thing very often, and can have intensive migraines and that kind of thing, quite simply because of the energy blockage, and that there then becomes, you see, if you're not actually using the energy, then it doesn't get wasted. It's still there. It's waiting to be used. So yeah. you need to be able to utilize it in that way. But there are many different situations which surround you, my dear friend, and that have to say that the situation of your development is something that needs to continue to progress. And yeah. it's something which takes on quite a physical appearance at many times.
Oh,
and
yes. There's a lot of paranormal activity around me.
Yes.
A lot of my son is what you call battery-operated toys. They turn off, on, and on, off.
Yes, quite so.
And so I was wondering, what's going on here? Is this kinetic energy just from me coming off that, or how's that?
It's also to do with him as well, friend.
Ah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes.
He must have tremendous energy. Wow.
Well, my dear friend, you really, really, you have to think about how you are going to continue with this, because quite clearly, there are many states of manifestation which actually could be utilized between the pair of you. The point is, of course, that is not
to... I just haven't found a good teacher, Gregory. That's probably my biggest thing, is trying to find a genuine teacher that can really teach me. If I called upon you in the White Cloud Group, could you assist me in this?
Well, my dear friend, I would suggest to you that you become in communication with our friends here in a real way, and that there are many, I believe, there are certain services and that kind of thing which they employ, which will help you to understand the nature of how you can move forward.
Is this through dream time or through my meditations?
Well, we can talk about it and see how it is that we feel that you need to proceed, really, and then give you some help on how to do that.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you, Gregory, and thank you, Sylvie.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Yes,
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You see, that kind of situation actually happens and manifests itself quite simply because of these collections of energies, vast collections of energies, which are happening to the physical being because of their spiritual activity, or in this case, in a sense, it brings a sort of a polarization to their activity because it is so physical, it becomes so physical and so, in a sense, almost traumatic, or forever turning on and off lights or blowing the fuses from kettles and that kind of thing. And it can actually be quite something which is, in a sense, quite... can be quite scary, I suppose, for some people, but for other people, they come to understand that this is really to do with their own inner energy and their spirit energy and the energy of those of the various beings in the spirit world who may well be working with them.
It can get quite expensive as well, can't it?
Yes.
Replacing light bulbs and kettles and things.
Yes, quite so, yes. Yes, but the point is, you see, that these can be very, very physical and positive energies, and they're energies which need to be utilized. Quite simply, my dear friend, such energy has usually a very great healing benefit to many other people. So that's something that you, it means to say then that they have to actually employ a real a physical situation. So we would suggest, of course, to all people who are embarking upon a situation of healing that they actually learn certain situations. Perhaps I would suggest Reiki would be a very good starting point, really, to understand and utilize the grounding of energies and how to work with earth energies, as well as the energies of the universe, of course. And that's something which I know that it has a great deal of perhaps combined difficulty for some people, because it is perhaps explained as a sort of a religious experience. I'm not suggesting that you have to have or take all of that upon yourselves. I'm suggesting here that this is something, however, which can be used in a very real way to give you a certain empathy, to understand how to actually use and utilize energy in the first place. And then it will mean to say that when you are dealing with spirit energy around you and something which is very close and obviously harmonic the way that is, you need to use it for a very positive and physical purpose. What better way to use it than to harness that energy and to actually use it for the benefit of others, in service to others?
Well, absolutely. And while you're learning the Reiki and doing the Reiki, you're actually channeling the healing and kinetic energy through you, and you're not going to get those other problems so much, are you?
No, quite so, because you will actually have more of a harness about how to use energy and utilize it in the power. I understand that with using the Reiki situation, that you have certain properties of words or symbology or something like that, but I'm saying that that is to do with that practice. What you then are able to do, however, is utilize the learning experience of the methodology, what you create to produce, how you blend with the universal energies in order to bring about a healing condition. Then it means to say that you actually have a grounding. You actually have a background of how to move and experiment with these energies on behalf of people to make them well again, to be more in service with people. And this in itself, friend, will actually help to bring about a totally different experience for people.
And of course, you can use the pendulum in a healing capacity anyway, can't you?
Yes, to absolutely.
Aid you with your healing.
I was really suggesting the pendulum in this first instance, really as a suggestion of how it is that your spirit communication can move, as a very direct energy, can move such a thing as a pendulum on a thin piece of cotton or wire. And that's something which is a very real physical experiment that you can bring about yourself.
Well, you can diagnose areas of the body, illness.
Yes.
And misaligned energy and all sorts of things, can't you, with
yes,
the pendulum?
Yes, and sometimes this may be due to the actual kinetic pressure which is coming through the auric field of the person, and that it's to do with the actual kinetic pressure that is delivered by the electrical pulses coming from the living being themselves, from the living tissue, perhaps, as it emerges through the auric field. And it will give an either plus or minus situation, which will send the pendulum in either direction, depending. It may alternatively be that someone in the spirit world actually uses it, but harnesses the exact same energies, perhaps transferred through your own physical state, or through your spirit, and this actually becomes evident on your auric field.
Mm. Yes, but you do have to be careful when you're using it to not to let your mind interfere with it too much.
That is very true, absolutely, because if you allow your mind to interfere with it, it can then play tricks upon you.
On the pendulum.
Yes, quite so. Mm. Yes, upon the pendulum and send it in the wrong direction or give you the wrong answer or something like that.
So if you've already got something, a preconceived idea about something or some thoughts in your head, one way or the other, you have to really, really work on not letting that come into play.
Yes, absolutely so, which of course, again, is going to be to do with the situation of, say, the condition of whether you actually allow yourself to quieten your mind and how well you are able to bring that condition on into your physical life.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Spirit's Work, and you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay. He's been channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about energy. If you'd like to phone us, it's toll-free. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. But the international call isn't toll-free, I'm afraid. Okay, so what about when people poke you?
Yes. Well, now, this may well be that it is the spirit actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So how on earth are they able to do that?
Absolutely.
If they're a non-physical being? Well, quite simply, what the spirit will do is reanimate certain conditions to do with their cell memory. And it will be to do with their cell memory that they can then actually bring something into the physical life, in a sense. Not that you would see it necessarily, but that you would feel it. So what they're actually using is their auric vibration, which is around it. So shall we say it's their finger that they're poking you in the bum or something like that.
Mm.
Then it will be the energy which had been around that finger at the time of their physical life. Remember, it retains itself as a part of your conscious memory of your physical state. That is how you reanimate the cell structure in the spirit world of your own, of what your physical presence was.
Mm-hmm.
So how you actually apply this is that you, as a spirit being, generate the will to want to do it, first of all. So you create the will to want to do it, perhaps because you want to get a reaction from the physical person. It's usually a playful thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is then, once again, the energy of love which drives it, which is the engine behind it, if you like. And you use the energy as a spirit being, you use the energy of love to concentrate and actually bring it together in a very pure form. And that this then is do with the conscious will of your, of the cell structure of the appendage that you had, which was your finger. Then you would utilize the kinetic connection between yourself as a spirit being and the physical person that you want to bring this apparent intrusion to.
Mm. Yes, I have a friend. I mean, the spirit guides aren't likely to poke you in the bottom. But I have a friend who actually passed this year, and she pokes me in the bottom every day, I think, at some point.
Yes, quite so.
Which is really funny.
And it's a laugh.
It is funny.
It's something which brings joy to you and joy to her, because she knows that she can do it at any time that she chooses.
Yes, and is it because, is it on the bottom because it's, you know, like, I don't know, is it bouncier?
Well, I understand, friend, that that was actually a part of her nature that she had in physical life.
Playful.
She was a very playful person, and what better thing to do than to give you evidence of her existence than to poke you in the bottom?
Well, it has that connotation about it, doesn't it? It says everything, really, you know.
Yes, and so, everything about her character as well.
Yes.
Yes. And that's the point, really. That is generally going to be the way that the spirit will interact, will be it's something of a joint memory between you as well. I'm not saying that it will be necessarily repetitive, but that most certainly it will be something which is very directed, particularly maybe happen at time when you need it to happen, shall we say. Perhaps you are feeling a bit bereft of yourself or whatever, and that person would be there and do that to cheer you up.
Yes.
Oh, remember me. Yes.
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 Funny. Okay, well, you told us a story the other night on, I can't remember which program it was. Anyway, you actually told us a story about how you materialized and came back to see your close friend Ham, who was still living a few years after you'd passed.
Yes, that was just the previous broadcast, I understand.
But can you explain how? I mean, this is another way of using energy. I mean, okay.
Yes.
Let me put it this way: you actually materialized and walked towards him while he was on a beach working fisherman.
Yes.
Okay. That's slightly different, I think, to the situations that we hear of, that a lot of people get, where they have maybe their loved one materialise in the bottom of the bed or something like that.
Or sitting on a seat or
yes,
something.
In the house.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, because that was actually a physical interaction.
Yes, and you hugged each other and you were speaking to him. Well, how did that happen?
True.
I mean, this is using energy in a way that I don't think we've spoken of, because it's not, it's just very different.
Yes, and it was, in a sense, almost one could say a one-off experience. It was something which I really needed to do for him as a physical being, so that he would be rested in the rest of his life, so that he would have no fear, because it was something that we always talked about. But whenever we met, we talked about how we thought that life would continue or not. And he was not a religious person at all. He was, I suppose you would say, a humanist. A person who thought much about the scale of humanity, even for his even in his younger years. I remember when we were both 9 and 10, respectively. And the situation was that he always felt that that there was nothing more to the human condition than the physical life that they experienced. And it was really so necessary for me once I had passed. And once I had learnt so much more about the spirit world, that there had to be a possibility of me being able to communicate with him in a real way.
And so how old would he have been then? Because you're 18 and a half when you passed. So how many years afterwards did you do this?
Yes, well, this was some 10 years afterwards.
Oh, right.
I believe.
Okay.
Yes, it was a while later.
Did he have a family then?
Yes, he did have a family, but he was actually working on his own. I do understand that his father was living with him at that time, but that his father was not working any longer.
Okay.
He was an old man.
Okay, so he was working on the beach, doing his work, fishing, and you materialized. How did this happen?
Well, I understand it was brought about by cell reanimation, which can happen in extreme circumstances, not, as I say, anything to do with the presence of ectoplasm or anything else to do with someone being present who is of a physical mediumistic skill or cell structure.
But you did say that it was something to do with white cloud as well.
Yes, that is very true.
So So did that make it different as well?
It did.
And does that make some of the other situations that we hear of when people are reanimated in people's lives, that can they be a gift as well from a shining one?
Yes, very often they are. And that is actually how it works, how it happens. It's usually, of course, for a very short length of time.
Hmm.
But the reanimation happens in a real state time, and the person actually is there and can communicate. It's not a non-reactive situation.
Mm.
How it happens is, it's to do with the gift of loving energy, but it's to do with the manifestation properties of how you actually move something from one dimension to another and make it to become manifest.
Well, I presume there's just some things that we're not really going to be able to understand. If it was created by a shining one and a shining one can create worlds, then the layperson isn't likely to be able, you might be able to understand.
Well, I do expect these situations will be brought out into the open eventually. I'm not saying that I'm not going to tell you. I'm saying that we ourselves still very often struggle with certain situations in the spirit world just because of the enormity of it and of the trying to manipulate our consciousness into that way of thinking, into understanding how different properties can become reanimated. After all, my friend, if you have an apport from the spirit world, that, however, is something slightly different because it's usually an inanimate object which is actually moved from one place in physical time, brought through the spirit world and deposited in somewhere else.
Hmm.
These are usually things which are borrowed or things which were manufactured and discarded by someone else in physical time. That's to do with time, not necessarily to do with place.
Okay.
So it may well be something. It may be an object that was left lying in the mud somewhere, hundreds or even thousands of miles away from where you are.
Mm. And that's something to do with the cellular structure and dematerialization of cells.
Yes, absolutely so. And then reanimation of those cells. As I say, it's different if you are dealing with issues surrounding an actual physical life.
Well, you did it with my horse.
I know, but that was a gift. And it was... It just happened that once.
And who was it a gift from?
From White Cloud.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I'm glad you didn't lose him. Because I have to tell you, everybody, I'm going to drop you right in it now, Gregory. He dematerialized something in our room the other day and he lost it.
Yes, I think.
And he can't get it back.
No, I know.
Luckily, it's not that important.
I am so very sorry about that. Sometimes these things happen with experiments that we bring about, quite simply. That's why we have to continue to do the experiments.
Well, absolutely.
Because otherwise, how are we going to manage to move forward if we aren't
able? Well, that's right. And other spirits do it to other people and families, don't they?
Absolutely,
when they're trying to get their attention.
Yes, car keys
are a classic, and that is so annoying. How many people have you heard say that?
Yeah.
Well, they keep moving my car keys, which is really, really annoying, or something important.
Yes.
And this is...
But what you need to do as people, as human beings, is to stop and think, well, how exactly did they do that?
Yeah, it's very clever, but, I mean, if you're just going out the door to an important meeting and you can't find your car keys or your whatever, yeah, that's funny. But anyway, it's afterwards, all is well.
Yes.
So, thank you very much, Gregory.
Absolutely, my dear friend, with love and light. And we thank you so much for this interaction and dialogue at this time. God bless.
God bless. And I'd like to thank anybody who was with us today, And do go to our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. And if you want to book up for an Akashic reading, all the details are on that site. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery. You've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.